Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up at 4, Mike Mayock will join us to help look forward to Eagles versus Packers. Coming up at 4:30, a very big surprise special guest. We can't tell you who it is, but that's coming up at 4:30. And joining us now, as he does every Thursday at 3 during the Eagles season, which is still going on, thankfully, is Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer. Shiel, how we feeling, man?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
It's playoff time, Shiel. That's how we're doing. We're very serious. We're locked in. Are you locked in? We need a locked in Shiel right now.
I'm locked in. It's one of those things where you look at it and it's like, are they going to be playing for the next month? Or are we going to be having some weird conversations when we do this hit next week? So that's why the playoffs are great. You don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'd like to have a weird conversation after a win. Let's do both next week. Let's do both. So, Shiel, assuming that Jalen Hurts gets cleared, which hasn't happened officially, but he's out there at practice today. So after practicing yesterday, we think signs are too good. Would you, if you were the head coach, would you limit him in any way? He's been concussed once this year. There was another one that we think might have happened that maybe he beat the test on. But from a running standpoint, from a throwing the ball standpoint, would you do anything differently with him on this Sunday that you would normally do?
I don't think so, especially from a running standpoint. I mean, the foundation of the entire offense is the run game and the offensive line and Jalen Hurts being part of that dynamic run game with Saquon Barkley. So I wouldn't limit that in any way. If anything, and I feel like, hey, let's make sure we shake some rust off early. Can we get him some easy completion early in the game? But to be honest, I like when they do that anyway. You know, they don't do it for most of the season. They did it in that Steelers game. So can you just get him some easy completions, get him in the game since he hasn't played for a little while? But in terms of physical limitations and trying to, you know, avoid hits and stuff, like it's the playoffs. I don't think it's time for that.
Yeah, I got to disagree on that, Shiel. I just think you got to be smart with him. I think this is a team. Now, if it's needed and it's late in the game and you have to go to it, that's fine. But I think to come in and go with this as if you don't have to worry. In other words, I don't think the Dolphins would put Tua out there and be like, you know what, we're just going to play Tua no matter way, and it doesn't matter what happens. I think when a guy has been banged up, and it took him, what, two and a half weeks to come back, I don't know if I just want to put him right back in the fire of taking on hits, because these things are easier to happen once it's happened once already. And I got a 225, 30-pound running back there with a massive offensive line. If I can avoid the exposure I give with Jalen Hurts as far as taking on contact, then I'm going to try to do that. I understand it's going to happen because he's out there playing, but I would be conscious of how much I call design plays where the quarterback is running. That's just how I look at it.
Well, the other thing here, though, Ike, is that, you know, when he runs the ball, like some of the big hits happen when he's holding on to the football. I mean, he gets
sure.
Back on 10%
yeah.
of his dropback, so it's kind of hard to do that. You know, some of the run plays, he can get down, he can brace for contact, he can avoid the big hit, whereas sometimes when he's scrambling around or he's in the pocket and you blow a protection or something, he's getting that big hit. So I hear what you're saying. I mean, we are at a bit of an information deficit where we don't know, you know, was this more serious and that's why he's just clearing the protocol? Did it have something to do with, hey, we don't need to rush him back out there in week 18? So, yeah, we don't know all of those little details, but I hear what you're saying.
So you mentioned Jalen getting sacked on 10% of his dropbacks. Jordan Love is a guy that doesn't get sacked very much at all. Though he's an interesting quarterback because he doesn't always wow you. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. What are we looking at as the Eagles face Jordan Love on Sunday?
Yeah, he's a little streaky, you know, and even within a game, like there have been Packers games this season where the first half you look at it and you go, I'm supposed to take this team seriously as a Super Bowl contender, and then all of a sudden they reel off three, four, you know, possessions in a row where he's on fire. So he can make the high degree of difficulty throws. The, you know, it's a tight window where, man, that's an ambitious pass to even try. He'll attempt those throws. He will miss some of the easier throws, some of the layups, you would say, where you say the accuracy isn't great. So it's hard to know which version of him you're going to get there. But to your point, maybe his biggest strength is avoiding sacks. I mean, he is, I think, you know, third best in the NFL at doing that, where he's got that good internal clock where he sits back there in the pocket and he kind of knows just when to get rid of the football to avoid that negative play. So he wants to push the ball downfield. That's how the Packers operate. They're not like a methodical passing game. When they throw the football, they're using play action. They're trying to take shots downfield. And the Eagles' maybe biggest strength on defense is limiting those shots downfield. So I think that does work a little bit in the Eagles' favor.
I look at this team, Shield, and we focus a lot on the offense, and rightfully so. That's where the names are. That's where the stars are. But the best overall unit has been this defense this year, right? The offense has been flash. It's shown us Saquon, AJ at times or what have you. But this defense finished number one in total yards given up, number one against the pass, second in total points given up. I think they're going to be the star of this postseason. What do you think about this defense going up against Josh Jacobs this time, Jaden Reed? I know Josh Jacobs had a pretty good game in that first game, a lot of missed tackles, but this is a different defense than they faced in the opening week.
You know, in that first game, the Packers had three runs of 20-plus yards. The rest of the season combined, the Eagles gave up three runs of 20-plus yards. And so it kind of just – it speaks to what you're saying. Like, that was a different unit. And I'm with you. I mean, I really couldn't be any more confident in this Eagles defense going into the playoffs. They're healthy. They've got all 11 starters. You know, BG, if you count him, that would be one that they don't have. But other than that, they're healthy. I love the way they cover. I love the way they tackle. I love the way they communicate in the secondary. I love that Jalen Carter got a week off there because he was playing a lot of snaps, and now he should be fresh. And, like, we could be talking about a month from now that, man, Jalen Carter has just put together an amazing postseason run. If we're talking about the Eagles in the Super Bowl, I think that's one of the guys that's going to be a reason for why they're there. So I'm with you. Yeah, I would be surprised if whenever this run ends, if we're saying, man, it ended because the Eagles defense didn't show up. That's not to say they're going to shut down every offense. You know, you're going to give up plays. You're going to give up some points here and there. But I just have so much confidence in both the coaching staff and the players that they're going to put their best foot forward this week and if the Eagles advance going forward.
And where these young guys have developed, I mean, Nolan Smith wasn't even really being thought of the first four or five games of the season. And he's a major contributor right now. And Cooper DeJean wasn't in that first game. It was Avante Maddox out there. I just wonder, how do you attack this Packers passing game? I know what we got to do in that running game, but from a passing standpoint, no Christian Watson. What are we doing, or what do you think we need to do as far as keeping Jordan Love contained?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. If you look at Jordan Love, he has struggled against man coverage this year, which is not necessarily what the Eagles do week in and week out. They can play it at times. So that's an interesting sort of back and forth between Vic Fangio and the Packers. Does Fangio say, no, we're going to do what we normally do. We like to play a lot of zone. Or does he say, man, they don't have Christian Watson in the lineup. I love my cornerbacks. Let's be a little bit more aggressive. Let's press at the line of scrimmage. Let's give our pass rush some time to get home there. Like I just said, Jordan Love doesn't take a lot of sacks, so can you make him hold on to the football? But really, I think the big thing is continuing to limit the explosive plays. You know, no one has done that better than the Eagles, and that's what Jordan Love wants to do. Like, if you're playing that way, he's going to still be aggressive and take his shots downfield, and that's where maybe you get a turnover or two from him. That was an issue for him early in the season. So I think those are some of the things I'm looking at when I look at what they might do defensively.
You know, Sheila, you mentioned Jordan Love being inconsistent. The Packers are a weird team overall because you look at the numbers, whether it's the standard numbers or the advanced ones, and you're like, well, here's an elite offensive and elite defensive team. But they just win 11 games, and when you watch them, you don't always feel that. I guess my question from a big picture standpoint is, how good are they? You know, good are the Packers?
Yeah, before the season, I had them as my Super Bowl pick from the NFC. I thought they were going to come out of the NFC. I thought Jordan Love was going to be an MVP candidate. And I think a big thing is he kind of went through some injuries. He missed a couple games. Then he comes back, and he's been a little bit inconsistent there. And then defensively, they changed coordinators. And defensively, they're very good at creating turnovers. That is their calling card. Like down to down, snap to snap, it's not the best defense you're going to see. But they found a way to create those big plays. So I think they're in a tough spot here. You know, I think if they were at full strength, I would say, hey, watch out. They could be the team nobody wants to play. But they lose their best cornerback in Jaire Alexander. They lose their biggest play threat at wide receiver in Christian Watson. And now if they're really going to make a run, I mean, they would have to beat the Eagles at the link. They would have to go to Detroit and beat that team. And it just sort of feels like maybe this isn't their season. Not to say they can't win. Weird things happen. We know that. But I think they're a good team, but not a great team. You know, when they face the Eagles, Vikings, and Lions, they're 0-5 in those games. They've been competitive, but they didn't find a way to win any of those games. So I think they haven't quite reached the level that people thought they might reach this season.
So before we ask you for your prediction, you as a generational Nick Sirianni hater, I want to ask you if you think that Nick's job should be on the line on Sunday. If the Eagles lose to the Packers, do you think that that should cost Nick Sirianni his job?
No, I think bad organizations do it that way, where they say the results of this one game. And like you hear that sometimes at the end of a regular season, hey, if they don't win this game in like week 17, the coach is gone. I mean, I think that's not a good way to do it. You know, and I know you're giving me a hard time there, but listen, they went 14-3. And so, I mean, I have a hard time seeing a scenario where Jeffrey Lurie, if he was thinking about, do I bring Sirianni back last offseason, he chooses to bring him back, and then he goes 14-3 to then say, all right, we're going in a different direction. So, no, I don't think his job is on the line or should be on the line based on the results of this game.
All right. Shiel, we need the official prediction, the Shiel Kapadia of the Ringer prediction on the WIP afternoon show.
For the first time, you know, I don't reveal this to anyone, family members, neighbors, Wawa, everybody's asking me. Listen, you got to tune into WIP at 3:00 on Thursday.
Okay.
I look at their offense and the Eagles offense, you just put the check mark next to their personnel at every spot against that Packers defense. And so even if it's not the most crisp game, I think just eventually they're going to find a way to score some points, whether it's a Saquon Barkley run, A.J. Brown deep pass, whatever it is. So I have confidence in their offense. And then defensively, like I just said, I mean, I'm going to like their chances against pretty much any offense in the NFL. So there are paths to which the Packers win this football game. Jordan Love gets hot. Jalen Hurts turns the football over. But I don't think that's the most likely scenario. I like the Eagles in this game, 27-20.
All right. And that's a cover, Shiel. That's a cover. That's
well,
a cover.
You'd yell at me if I say they win, but it's a field goal. So I don't want to have to go through that again. So I just said, you know, I'm just going to predict them to cover.
The Ike Reese and Jack Fritz special.
Yeah,
Eagles
right,
win,
man.
But don't cover.
Yeah.
All right, Shiel. We appreciate you as always. Hopefully we have a weird conversation next Thursday at 3, but it's after a win. That's what I'm looking
forward to. All right, guys. Take care.
All right,
there
brother. He is, Shiel Kapadia. You know, when I'm thinking about predictions for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I had been predicting the Eagles would lose by double digits every week, and they kept winning and winning and winning.
Yeah.
And then on the final prediction that we had before we went to break, I predict they would lose by double digits to the Commanders, mm-hmm. and they actually lost the game. Yeah. So the question is, do I still have to predict that they will lose by double digits after that string is over?
No.
Okay, so I can make my normal prediction tomorrow.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Once it's broken, it's broken.
It's broke. Once it's broken, it's broken.
Yeah.
All right. So
it was fun for 10 weeks.
It was. You're welcome, Eagles.
Yes. It was fun for 10 weeks.
You're welcome.
Yep.
So what we've been talking about today is with Jalen coming back from a concussion, whether the Eagles on Sunday should just let it rip, let him run like he normally does, let him throw like he normally does full on, or play it safe. And Ike is suggesting they should be careful with him, given mm-hmm. he's had 1.5 concussions this year.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce was on the morning show today talking about the value of RPO versus the Packers specifically, and here's what he had to say.
I do think RPOs are good against teams like this. They play a lot of zone coverages. You can mess with the linebackers when they're in their zones and try and mess with them. You can do zone reads, and all that stuff is paired well against these teams that have tried to run zone coverages against the Eagles. So if it's a zone game and those players are there, yeah, call them early, and he'll run into somebody and realize he's okay, and we'll be all good.
So
I don't know about that. I don't need him running into anybody.
he'll realize he's okay or not.
Yeah, I don't need that. Yeah, if he runs into a DB, okay, maybe. But yeah, is he running into a linebacker? Is he running into a DN?
Well, also the important thing to remember about an RPO is that he has the option. That, like, that's what it stands for, run pass option, right? So
yeah.
He can give the ball to Saquon, he can throw the ball, or he can keep it himself. And the reason that that was an effective play for so long is that there's three things that the offense can do out of it, and it keeps the defense guessing a little bit. So I think, you know, to your point, what he might want to do. And by the way, I thought Shiel made a good point that a lot of the times that he gets hit, it is when he's held the ball too long.
Sure.
So maybe.
Yeah, that's on him too. Yeah, that's on him.
You know?
Yeah, some of this is like I'm not naive enough to think they aren't going to run Jalen Hurts at some point Sunday. My thing is, we don't need to overdo it, and he needs to be smart.
Right.
When he does it, meaning get down, don't take unnecessary hits. That goes back to the whole holding the ball in the pocket, taking shots in the pocket, like
getting sacked too much.
Yeah, like you don't need to do that stuff.
It's funny thinking back to the Michael Vick days. You remember when he couldn't slide?
And yeah.
Didn't they bring a baseball player in to teach him how to slide?
Terry Pendleton.
That's what it was. Never figured it out. Looked like when he was trying to slide, it felt like it looked like when I tried to ski or something. Like he just couldn't figure out how it actually worked.
But legs are moving too fast.
Right. Yes.
His legs are moving too fast.
Do you have something, Buzz? Oh, no, you're looking at me like you did. All right, 215-592-9494. Derek and Paoli, you're on WIP. Derek.
That's Shiel still. Oh, hold on.
No, it's Derek.
Oh, mine is Shiel. There it is. Okay.
Now Derek.
There you go.
Buzz. We're fine. Poor Buzz. Well, we'll go to Kareem. Kareem in West Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Kareem?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up? What's up, man?
What's up, Rain?
Yeah, I'm a combat vet. I haven't called your guys in a while, over a year. And I've been following you, though. I believe that the Eagles go out there and just be aggressive. Right? Play smart. Right? Let Jalen get the ball out of his hands quick. Right? And don't be afraid to run the plays. I think Kevin Moore has some things in his bag that nobody's seen yet. And he's going to pull them out slowly. And the defense is hungry. They just want... I can't put my finger on it, but they just on another page. It's personal with everybody on the defense. It just seems that way. Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody has something to prove. So I believe they will keep the Eagles in the game, cause a few turnovers, give the Eagles a short field. Right? And just Jalen go ahead and be aggressive and do his thing. Just play smart. You know, you don't have to be a hero.
Yeah.
But he has to play smart and go ahead and handle his business and just get him out the way early. So in the third and fourth quarter, he doesn't have to do all the extra stuff.
Well, scoring early would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had trouble with that all year. And, you know, putting themselves in position, we keep talking about time of possession.
Yeah.
Putting ourselves in position like we did in the Baltimore game to essentially end, was it Baltimore or the Pittsburgh game where we ended it like on an 11-minute drive?
That was Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Like putting ourselves in position to be up 7 or 10 points in the middle of the third quarter to drain the life out of them with that one of those 9.5-minute drives and go up, you know, two scores or three scores, that would be a perfect situation, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the drives where Saquon really shines and usually ends up busting one.
Yep. Offensive line starts to wear you down a little bit.
Yep. And thank you for call, Kareem. You think we win it, right? Yeah? Yeah?
Yes, well, definitely.
Oh, shoot. That's on me. Sorry, Kareem. He mentioned how tough the defense is.
Yeah.
It really is amazing. We saw a huge difference. We always point to the bye and think of the difference in the team offensively after the bye.
Mm-hmm.
And they did play well in New Orleans, the defense did.
Mm-hmm.
But just thinking back to those first four games, you know, they allowed, 29 points to Green Bay, 31 points or whatever to Tampa. What was this? Atlanta, what'd they score? 20-something? 20? Because we lost the Atlanta game.
Mm-hmm.
24, 25 points, whatever
it was.
Well,
they were worse that last drive of the game.
Yes.
They let Atlanta march down a damn field.
And thinking about and remembering that, because Fangio brought it up and Sirianni brought it up. They both brought up the idea that they missed all these tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the bye, all of that changed. It's just amazing to me that something like that can change, that tackling can change. Because to me, that would be about personnel. It'd be like, ah, these guys just don't have it. But just saying we need to tackle better and then tackling better, it's just unbelievable to me that the
it's what I yell about every year, Spike. It's you don't become a good tackling team without practicing
tackling
this way. Like right. You have to, and I'm not saying you have to take your running back to the ground and practice and all this type of stuff, but what they did was they realized they needed to have tackling drills. They needed to focus on better tackling. Like, that's what they did. They started practicing in pads on Wednesdays. I was excited to hear Coach Sirianni say the other day, yeah, we're putting on the pads today.
Right.
Wednesday. Yeah. It's January. You as an Eagles football fan ought to be excited and happy about that. That's why I yelled and screamed at Elliott every training camp with his nonsense about the, you know, being healthier and get off the field and having 45-minute practices and at least everybody's healthy nonsense. It's why they were a soft team last year with that nonsense when they did it. They didn't tackle anybody. And coming out, They didn't play in the preseason, so they felt the ramifications of that in the first few weeks of the season, to the point where they knew they had to do some things differently in practice. That's why I give Nick Sirianni so much credit. See, it's those things when people say, well, what does he do? What does he do? He just changed the whole freaking mindset of this football team, which was a soft-ass team last year. To where they're mentally tough right now as a football team. They can bounce back after a tough loss or after a tough outing and be at their best. They don't let stuff off the field sort of destroy the locker room. Like, they are all connected, man. And that's what this dude does as far as having his team ready to go.
Nakobe, it's funny you say that about like the sort of toughing it out and being that kind of defense in practice too. Nakobe Dean said this yesterday.
Especially doing a stadium practice, padded mm-hmm. practice, yeah. Music bumping. Did it get you even more excited for the playoffs?
I mean, it was all right. It was all right, you know, to be in the stadium, but it do make you kind of feel, you know, you want to take advantage of every opportunity like this. Not everybody gets this opportunity to play in the playoffs. Man, I was just on Snapchat looking at my guys' stories, and Instagram, they all on the beach or in Miami, and I'm like, yeah, we in the cold working. So it's an opportunity and it's a privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right attitude.
That's what you need, man. Yeah,
want to be out in the cold
yes.
working.
Yeah. That's what you need. And this is where Howie deserves a lot of credit. The guys he brought in, you got to bring in guys that have this mindset. A guy like Cooper DeJean played at Iowa. Kirk Ferentz, those are maniacs out there at Iowa.
And it's cold.
It's cold as hell, and that's all they do is play defense and run the football.
Right.
That's just something he's used to doing. So you got the Georgia boys, they're used to preparing a certain way, practicing a certain way, playing at a certain level. You bring more of those guys in with that type of temperament, and then that's what your football team becomes. They are ready to embrace the hard work because it's what they're accustomed to.
Well, it's also contagious in a way, because if you have a player who's very talented, maybe he's in the middle of what you're talking mm-hmm. about. He's not soft, but he's also not one of those guys.
Sure.
Well, if everyone around you is that
rubs
guy.
Rubs off on him.
You have to be that
yep.
guy, right? Or you're not going to survive.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, 215-592-9494. Jalen on Sunday. Let it rip or
tater
play
chip.
It safe. Let it rip, tater chip, or play it safe. Also, Jordan Love spoke about he did get hurt on Sunday. Talked about whether how healthy he is for Sunday. And I have to, you know, we had a show yesterday about Jalen proving something. And I just have to revisit that take. What do we call it in the meeting today? A retake?
A retake.
A bit of a retake. Now, I'm not changing my mind, but I do believe that I can deliver it in a way that is even more compelling.
You're going to polish it.
Yeah, I'm going to polish it like you. Oh.
You're going to polish your turn. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Just been using that a lot the last 2 days.
Yep. We're going to shave something off of it.
Going to smooth it out.
We're going to smooth it out. All right, that's next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up at 4, Mike Mayock joins us to break down Sunday's game. Then at 4:30, a very big special guest. I'll say this as a hint. This particular guest has never been on the show before. This specific guest we have at 4:30 has never been on the show before. Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google five-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. With Jalen Hurts back, should the Eagles on offense on Sunday let it rip and be aggressive or play it safe? With Jalen, 88% saying let it rip and be aggressive.
Let it rip, Tater Chip.
Let it rip, Tater Chip. Hashtag Justin from Tennessee. Before we get back to the phones, I want to address yesterday's topic. Mm-hmm. So yesterday's topic was, does Jalen Hurts have something to prove in the playoffs like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson do? And like usual, any Jalen Hurts talk at all that is not glowing, resonates on the internet with a certain group of babies, crybabies who can't handle it. So I figured I would address this, specifically to put in a capsule, a very small capsule about what I think about this. So here's why I think Jalen Hurts has something to prove during the playoffs. These things are true. This first group of things are true. Jalen Hurts has won a ton of regular season games as quarterback of the Eagles. It is also true that the Philadelphia Eagles went to the Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. And it is also true that he played great in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. All of those things are true. These things are also true. He is 2-3 in the playoffs. His career passer rating in the playoffs is 88, which, by the way, was the passer rating of Drake May and Caleb Williams this year. He's been eliminated in the playoffs in the first round 2 of 3 years. It's also true that the best quarterback he's ever beat in the playoffs is Daniel Jones, and it's also true that the passing game has gotten worse the last 2 years. So when I say Jalen has something to prove in the playoffs, I'm not saying Jalen hasn't done anything. I'm not saying I don't think he's capable. Clearly he's capable because he's been there and done it. My point is, a person who has this sort of record with both good things and bad things, and I just laid them all out, played great in the Super Bowl, got the team to the Super Bowl. However, lost in the first round 2 out of 3 years, passer rating not that great, hasn't really beaten another great quarterback in the playoffs. All those things true as well, which is why I think he has something to prove in the playoffs like those other quarterbacks do. It's true he hasn't accomplished as much in the regular season as those guys, hasn't been in the league as long as those guys, but this is his fifth year in the playoffs, high-paid quarterback, MVP runner-up, all those sorts of things. So I think he's got to show something.
Well, and here's the other thing that goes along with that. For you, it's really he has to prove something to you.
For sure.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's what it is. Because some people will say, he doesn't have to prove anything to me.
Which is fine.
I'm fine with him. He's good to go. You know what I'm saying? And so I get it, and I understand it. I don't know if it was a caller. I think it was a caller the other day that just basically framed this picture as, when judging Jalen Hurts, you almost have to, you got to throw out how you traditionally judge the quarterback. Now, you can, if you want to sort of, I guess, be okay with how he's playing and not have these certain standards. In other words, some people may be like, listen, if he's the Troy Aikman, and I've been calling it, I said, if he's the Troy Aikman, he's fine. Troy Aikman won 3 Super Bowls, and he's in the Hall of Fame. His numbers aren't overly impressive. If you just go look at his raw numbers, it's the championship and the postseason play is what elevates Troy Aikman. It's not that he wowed you with a bunch of touchdown passes and yardage and any of that stuff. But to your point, in the postseason, he played big. He had to beat Steve Young. He had to beat Brett Favre. Like, he had to win these games against Green Bay and San Francisco and then go win the Super Bowl against Jim Kelly, the likes of that, to win championships. And that's where I think Troy Aikman sort of got elevated, is that he stepped up in big games. I just think that's kind of how I view Jalen. It is. I just kind of have to view Jalen like, he's a winner, he's a game manager, he's a gamer, and those are good things. Those are good qualities to have. And Troy Aikman wouldn't have been as good if he didn't have the surrounding cast he had.
Absolutely.
Including the Hall of Fame coach.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I would say the other thing, and the reason that it's proved something to me, look, he might end up winning a Super Bowl using his legs as much as he does as a primary option.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are saying, well, you don't count the things he does with his legs.
Right.
But when you look historically, and this isn't about quarterbacks who can run, it's quarterbacks who lean on the run.
Rely on it, yeah.
Rely on it the way that he does. You look historically in the NFL, when you start facing these better teams in the playoffs, they almost sort of wait for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know when they get him, it's like, well, we're going to, you're not playing regular season games against regular season teams anymore.
Right.
So that's why, look, if he can do it that way, and they do it, more power to him, more mm-hmm. power to him. But mm-hmm. some of the really great quarterbacks who have been those guys, from the Cam Newtons to the Mike Vick to even Lamar,
mm-hmm.
is when they get to the playoffs, they're not able to do the same things. They're more limited than in what they can do.
Sure.
Which is also, look, if he can win a Super Bowl running as much, relying on the run for him as much as he does, more power to him. I end up being wrong. Or if he's able to pass the ball better than I expect he can, more power to him. Like, I just want them to win a Super Bowl. That's what I want. So when I say prove something to me, he's the most important. You've said it a bunch of times. He's the most important player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
He touches the ball every offensive possession.
So you mean by when you say prove something to you, you're not talking about numbers. You're talking about going and winning?
Well, number, there's all sorts of different numbers.
Right? That's what but does the winning supersede numbers is all I'm saying.
If they win a Super Bowl, it supersedes everything.
Right.
But it supersedes everything.
I'll say this. Favre got the 5 NFC championship games and 1 Super Bowl, and it wasn't because of a bunch of passing numbers.
Oh, right. Yes.
Favre did whatever he had to do.
Yes.
You know, to win. And we had great defense around him and everything else. It wasn't, he won consistently. Now, you may say, well, because he wasn't the thrower that he should have been, maybe we didn't win the Super Bowl.
Maybe.
Like, that's an argument, but I'm saying he won regularly every year.
But he also was a better thrower than Jalen is.
Arm is stronger. Yeah. I don't know if he's a more accurate thrower. I don't know if he's a more accurate thrower. His arm was stronger for sure.
Yeah. He did, by the way, the same sort of avoid turnover thing that Jalen has, Don had too.
Don had that too. Yep. He took care of the ball.
Yep. So that's, and look, it is what, if he's proven enough to you and you don't need to see anything, is what it is.
Yeah.
I do. You know, and that's sort of what it is. Yeah. 215-592-9494, a caller who, wow, what's going on with my mouse here? Caller who abandoned our show. Chuck from Mount Airy is on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Oh, Spike, why you got to introduce me like that?
Well, you announced your departure. I just need to, you know, set the stage.
Oh, come on. This is about the playoffs, man.
Okay.
I mean, I got to call in special occasions. I got to call in. And I'm progressing. I'm waiting on hold for an hour and 10 minutes.
All right. There we go. All right.
You know what I mean?
All right.
You want a trophy? Or?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Buzz, don't you weigh in, Buzz.
Shut your ass up, Buzz. You know what I mean? Don't wear and poop on yourself. You know what I mean? Hey, listen.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, let me say this. Let me speak to you, brother, real quick.
Yes.
Right? I gotta go. Listen, man, this guy, Jalen Hurts, listen, we talking about an organization, right, that ran a tush push with a guy with broken ribs. Okay?
Yeah.
So they're gonna put this guy at a disadvantage, this coaching staff. But Jalen has to be responsible for himself and be helpful to himself
mm-hmm.
and protect himself.
Yep.
I don't think that this organization, this coach is a moron. So he doesn't have the capability.
You're still there, Chuck. I thought you had moved past that with Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, he's still a boy. I mean, that doesn't change. You know what I mean? That doesn't change at all. You know, this guy is going to do what he needs to do to win, what he feels necessary to do and win. And if that's Jalen Hurts at an average, at a disadvantage, I'm sorry, then that's what he's going to do. Because he wants to win so badly. You know what I mean? And that's what the coach is going to do. And this is his job. To try to win. You know what I mean? It's not his job to protect Jalen. Jalen's job is to protect Jalen. So, you know, I'm just saying this. I've been hearing a lot of stuff on his radio station, and particularly with, with you guys. You know, Green Bay ain't sweet. I just want to let you know that. Green Bay is not sweet, man. You know, we are going to win this football game, and we should win it by 2 touchdowns, but we're not going to win it because, you know, we're home. Or we got the best team, the best players.
No, that is why we're going to win it, Chuck, because we got the best team and the best players. Yes, it is.
No.
And Green Bay is sweet.
They ain't sweet like that. Come on, man. Listen, we don't think like that. You know what I'm saying? They not sweet. No, they not, man. 2 weeks ago, we were just talking about Green Bay going up and potentially being able to beat any
Yeah, team. I know. But here's the thing, though. It's Thursday. And I'm not about to act like I'm afraid of the Green Bay Packers this weekend. That's not happening.
Listen, I'm not saying be afraid. This game is being won right now.
Okay.
The preparation up into this game. These guys gotta come out and really be prepared and really execute on the field. All those other things is an additive, you know. But these guys, you know, Green Bay, like I said, they can get hot quick. You know what I mean? Josh Jacobs, no slouch. Jordan Love, no slouch. And I tell you, it's going to be potentially the toughest run for us, you know, to the Super Bowl. But I got to say this much, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spike, you think, Spike, that, you know, Jalen got to prove something. I'm with you on that. I think he's still got to prove a lot to me, too. But here's the thing, right? Jalen, his defense is going to be the reason why we get to where we need to be. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
This defense is demolition green. That's what this defense is. This secondary this week is going to be lights out. This secondary is going to be, I'm telling you, my man get his first interception this week. You know, Quinyon, Q. I'm calling it. This
we keep CJ away. Yeah.
Yeah, CJ plays defense on Quinyon.
Oh, ball hawk. CJ be hating, man. I tell you, he had to do that, man. He had to do that to my guy, man. I was like, yeah, Quinyon did CJ just came and scooped that, man. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, but I'll take that this week. Whoever gets it, they get it. You know
that's
I mean?
Right. That's right.
By all means necessary, we need all hands on deck this week. And I'm telling you, you know what I mean? These guys are good enough to win the bowl. But I need Jalen to be healthy, and I need him to be at his best. Everybody got to go to another level. You know it, man.
Listen.
Playoffs is what it is.
I agree. This week, though, we need to get Jalen through this week. Get him through this week, and he'll be ready to roll full speed next week.
Well, he got to earn. Well, listen, here's the thing. You know, Ike, ain't no game next week until we earn one. We got to go out there
and
earn a game next week.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I mean, like I said, I agree with you, with both of you. But I just think, you know, this thing is getting crazy, man. But let me say something about Tasty Cake Dom real quick. Hey, Tasty Cake, listen.
Wait, he didn't do anything wrong. Did Tasty Cake do
it? Well, let's hear him out. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Tasty Cake, I like you, but you're a bit of a kiss ass. You know what I mean? You're a teacher's pet, you know? And you don't got to be that way. See, people are going to call up here and be them authentic selves. And then you got Spike and Ike and get them in line. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. You know, Freddie Mitchell was wrong yesterday. Freddie Mitchell, he's an immature guy. And he still is. And Sean Lindetta had every right to feel the way he felt. And as far as Chris Finn talking, I was listening yesterday. That was great radio. I tell you, I enjoyed myself.
Not a surprise that you enjoyed that, Chuck. It's right up your alley.
Hey, listen. Hey, Spike, I text Jack, and I said, great, great radio. I'm telling you, man, I almost cried going off the road, you know. But he doesn't have to call up and apologize. Spike, one thing about Spike don't hold grudges. You know what I'm saying? Me and Spike had our run-ins, but the man don't hold grudges. I can give him that. You know what I'm saying? So Chris, just call up. Continue to call up. I love your calls. Do what you do, and that's that. But Tasty Cake Dom, you don't got to kiss ass like that.
Lee, Tasty Cake Dom's a nice man.
Yeah, leave Tasty Cake alone, man.
He could be a nice man. I never said he wasn't a nice man. He's a good guy. I like him, but you know, he kind of like throws people under the bus to make himself look good. You know what I mean? See, people like me get carte blanche, right, normally get to the top because I earned that. You know what I'm saying? See, when I first called up the show, when I first called this show, I was at the bottom of the barrel. But when I got on with fire, and I knew, listen,
you did.
I had to make it last.
You did.
You know what I'm saying?
You
so,
did.
You know, people earn their stripes, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing with me, Chuck, is that what I like about our show is that we have all different kinds of callers, right? We have the fiery ones like you and Chris who threaten me physically. We have the more laid-back ones like Tasty Cake Dom who still brings great points, all that kind of stuff. So you know, we got the laid-back ones like Reese. We got all kinds. We got all kinds.
Yeah. You know, you got regular callers, and then you got regular callers.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
All right, Chuck.
You got these, Andrews?
Yeah.
Come on, man. I think he on a Viking or something when he calls in. I don't know what the hell's going on with that, man. Yeah, that guy, he calls in, he's all over the place, man. But, I like him to calm down a little bit, but Yeah, you, come on, man. You got OK Andrews, and then you got, you know, OG Wade or something. Come on, Spike. You got to weigh it out, baby. Weigh it out.
All right,
man, that's all I'm saying. All right. Hey, listen, go Birds on Sunday.
Go Birds.
I'll talk to y'all, man. I'm glad to hear y'all back on the radio. And that radio yesterday, that was great radio. Rod Lincoln, if you listen to
that. All right, brother.
All right, Chuck. Chuck, of course, loved the fight between me and Chris from Ben Sogan, because anytime a caller yells at me and threatens me physically.
He's all for that.
Chuck is loving it. So Jordan Love hurt his elbow on Sunday, mentioned that he had trouble feeling his hand afterwards. Matt LaFleur had said he would play. Here's what Jordan Love said yesterday.
Funny ball? I mean, like everybody's had happen. Mm-hmm. Nothing funny about it.
No. Definitely not.
Very funny Sunday.
We'll see. Yeah. I'm hopeful.
So they asked, are you playing on Sunday? We'll see. I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing.
Of course he's playing.
Right, yeah. Malik Willis is hurt too, actually. I forget what his injury was. Backup quarterback. I think he's hurt as well. So,
well, if he's not playing, we definitely should be just running Saquon.
Yeah, if Jordan Love's not playing.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though Shield made the good point, the guy that to bludgeon us of all running backs more than anyone this year
was Josh Jacobs.
Was Josh Jacobs in that game.
Different defense.
Yes. Yes.
That's totally different defense.
That's why I said when I talked to BG, when we had the BG show on Monday, and we brought up the Green Bay game. I said, it seems like it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Totally different.
Different. It seems like a different season.
Yep.
It doesn't even seem like it was part of this season. 215-592-9494. Keith in Ben Salem. You're on WIP. What's up, Keith?
Yo, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Keith?
It's funny. Chuck from Mount Airy, he throws some shade, right? He is the biggest flip-flopper that I've heard on the entire radio station.
Oh, no.
I don't know what color stripes he has because they change every time I hear him. So
really, he stays. I always think Chuck stays pretty committed to his takes, right?
He hates it when they're doing good. He likes them. When they're doing bad, he hates them. He's a total flip flop. You know, he's almost as bad as OG Wade.
All right, so OG Wade doesn't flip flop. OG Wade doesn't flip flop.
Yeah, he's always wrong.
Well, that's true.
Ike, my Nubian brother.
Yes.
Listen.
Oh, I haven't been called a Nubian brother in a while.
My
I like that.
I love this show, man.
Yeah, I like that.
I love this show. All right.
So I'm Keith Ben Sam. I'll be your new guy that's going to call every week.
Okay.
All right. But the thing is, the only reason I disagree with you, Ike, about Jalen is because when we need him out there, his 100%, whether he's going to run the ball, pass the ball, we need 100% of our quarterback. We don't need 80%. And the thing is, it's like I remember when at halftime when they played Kansas City, and it looked like what's his name, Mahomes was going off the field, right? It was a bent ankle, right?
Yeah.
He came back and ripped a 40-yard run, a 35-yard run. I think
it's not a concussion.
I'm so tired of the first four games of preseason, we don't play the players. Then they have a bye, we don't play the players. Then it comes towards the playoffs, we don't play the players.
Who said he's not going to play?
No, but I'm to 100%. Do you want this to turn into the NBA? It's really what it's turning into if you think about it.
Well, the NFL is nothing like the NBA, so I don't even know where this comparison is going.
But look at the product of the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying, all I'm saying is, Keith, all I'm saying is that I don't need to put Jalen in harm's way unnecessarily. Right? That's what I'm saying. We don't need to unload the clip to beat the Green Bay Packers. That's just my feeling. I don't feel like that we're playing if we were playing the Detroit Lions, I wouldn't be saying this. Right? Like, I wouldn't be saying this if this was in the second round. This is a wild card game at home. Hold on. Let me finish where I'm going with it. This is a wild card game at home against an opponent that's undermanned. And I feel like I don't necessarily feel like I need to have Jalen out there to be Superman to beat the Green Bay Packers. I just don't. I don't feel like I need to do that. He's going to throw the ball. He's going to take off and run. I don't need him lowering his head to try to pick up a first down in the first quarter. I don't need a bunch of unnecessary quarterback draws early in the game, putting him in harm's way, right? I need him to get through this damn game and so we can get on to the next round. The Green Bay Packers are not on the same level as we are. And no amount of fear is going to make me believe the Packers are.
You know, I love that, Yike.
Yeah.
I just listen to the fire in your voice just coming back. That that just shows you if you were in the locker room, you would, and you're getting ready to play the game. Mm-hmm. You're getting ready to play 100%. And yeah, you know, the other point is it's called entertainment, Ike. And I hate to bring it to this.
Yeah.
I had people over my house on Thanksgiving. I had to shell out money to put it on Netflix to get a bad product of games on my TV.
You're going to get a good product Sunday?
No, on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying you're going to get a good product Sunday. You don't think the Eagles are going to get a good game?
I understand, but I think sometimes – I love these athletes, and I want to see the Eagles do well. But, I mean, it's like when you're trying to put the ball always right in the middle, I think it just takes away from it a little bit. That's all.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm knocking on wood. Because if he's taking off running every time he gets hit, I'm like, oh, Lord, hope he gets up.
But the thing is, he has a threat to run. And as long as that linebacker, that safety, the cornerback knows that there's a threat that he can run,
Yep. That's
what I'm like, Lordy, yeah, that's right.
As long as he slides
what makes him great. He has to learn that. He has to do it.
Well, as long as he slides, then I'm okay. You realize when he got the concussion, he didn't slide.
I agree. Listen, it looked like it was an. I didn't even know he was hurt. To tell you the truth,
exactly. And he missed 2.5 weeks.
Right. Did he really miss 2.5 weeks because he had a concussion? I have a lower body injury.
Nah.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Keith.
All right.
Let me ask you this. So if Jalen Hurts was completely healthy the last, let's say, 2 weeks, because we'll give him 1 week that he was in there and he wasn't healthy. Let's say the last 2 weeks. What benefit does it give the Eagles to not have Jalen around in meetings and out on the practice field actually practicing?
I don't know what the protocol is, but I obviously
no. I'm asking you, what benefit is that to the Eagles? What you're intimating is that he's been healthy and they just held him out of practice and everything else.
No, I just don't know because the information isn't put out there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the info though, Keith, is that he didn't pass protocol.
Yes,
that's it.
Yes.
Thank you for the call, Keith. And I know a lot of people were thinking, well, they just weren't passing him out of it because he wasn't playing in the game. Well, they could have just passed him out of it anyway and not played him in the game.
Yes.
And that way he could have been in all the meetings. He could have practiced. He could have gotten reps in and not played in the game.
Yes.
So, look, he's out of it now, and that's good. But I don't think there was any advantage to him not being passed out of protocol if they could last week. They didn't have to play him against the Giants if he was out of protocol.
I completely agree. This idea that we're convincing ourselves that it wasn't that bad and he's been fine for the last 2 weeks, they were just holding him out. It doesn't make sense.
It's the same people who are saying it's not that bad are the same people who were saying he was definitely concussed in the other game. You know what I mean? We're like, oh, he was definitely concussed. Well, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, Mike Mayock, a true filmsman. And we'll talk to Mayock about the matchup with the Packers. And the thing I want to ask Mike is, if there's one thing about the Packers we have to worry about as Philadelphia Eagles fans, what is that? So we'll talk to Mike next. And then coming up at 4:30, a surprise guest who has never been on the show before, a very big guest coming up at 4:30. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.